instructs the Prachetas, text number 29. Vidura uvacha, Vidura uvacha, soyam adya mahayogin, bhavata karunatmana, darshitas tamasah paro, yatra kinchana gohari. With Krishna and purport by Srila Prabhupada, Sri Vidura said, O great mystic, O greatest of all devotees, by your causeless mercy I have been shown the path of liberation from this world of darkness. By following this path, a person liberated from the material world can return home back to Godhead. Purport. This material world is called tamaha, dark, and the spiritual world is called light. The Vedas enjoin that everyone should try to get out of the darkness and go to the kingdom of light. Information of that kingdom of light can be attained through the mercy of a self-realized soul. One also has to get rid of all material desires. As soon as one frees himself from material desires and associates with a liberated person, the path back home, back to Godhead, is clear. O Magya, great mystic, O greatest of all devotees, by your causeless mercy I have been shown the path of liberation from this world of darkness. By following this path, a person liberated from the material world can return home back to Godhead. These are the concluding verses of this particular chapter entitled Narad Instructs the Prachetas. In fact, these are the concluding verses of this fourth canto. And we have seen in these instructions of Shripad Narad Muni how he is taking the Prachetas on a journey of self-realization. The other day Shyamanand Prabhu was very systematically and sequentially explaining the flow of these instructions of Srila Narad Muni. So towards the end, in conclusion, we understand that in essence, in a nutshell, what Narad Muni is trying to instruct the Prachetas is essentially two things. The power of this material energy and the power of Krishna. What is the power of Maya and what is the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? In fact, any bona fide scripture like Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, etc. will make us aware of these two facts. What is the power of Maya and what is the power of Krishna? And we see that in our practice of devotional service, sometimes we might slip from our strict principles, from our strict regulations. And that happens generally because we underestimate the power of Maya, and also because we underestimate the power of Krishna. Sometimes we take Maya casually and sometimes we take Krishna casually. So as it is said, whenever we are casual in our devotional service, we might become a casualty. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is filled with examples of devotees who have very properly understood the power of Krishna and have surrendered to Krishna. And also we have examples of those personalities who underestimated the power of Maya and Krishna, and they slipped back in the undercurrents of Maya. Now, Lord Krishna himself, speaking in the Bhagavad Gita, he is explaining to Arjuna these two facts very elaborately. In fact, in one beautiful verse in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna in just one verse is explaining to Arjuna the power of Maya and the power of Krishna. When he says, Daivi Hesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya Mame Vaye Prapadyante Maya Metan Tarantite. The first half of this verse, Lord Krishna explains what is the power of Maya. And the second half, Lord Krishna explains what is the power of his own self, Krishna. So he says that this Maya is Daivi. Very interestingly, Krishna calls this material energy as Daivi, as divine, transcendental. It never decays, it never gets corroded, it never gives up on anyone of this material world. Sometimes we may give up the practice of Krishna consciousness, but Maya never gives up on anyone. She has very high hopes with everyone. Now we are trying to practice our devotional service in her territory, and we are playing against her in her home grounds, we can say. And she has a long track record of great yogis and rishis who have succumbed to her charms, to her delights. So Krishna, beginning to speak of the power of Maya, calls her Daivi, and then says that certainly there is no doubt about that. So he uses the word Hi Esha. And then, to further exemplify the power of Maya, Krishna says, she is not without any doubt transcendental and divine, but Gunamai. She is suffused and she has permeated herself with the three gunas. Just like Srimati Radharani is called Krishnamai. So Durga Devi, another form of Srimati Radharani, over here Lord Krishna calls her Gunamai. She is infused with the three gunas. Maya Devi has invested in us with her three gunas, specifically in this age of Kali Yuga, with Rajogun and Tamogun, and we are like her agents expanding to others these three gunas. So Lord Krishna says that she is Gunamai also. And then further he says that this Maya is mine, Mama Maya. Now this is enough for us to understand that how powerful Maya can be if Krishna is saying that this Maya is mine. Just like any big person, any extraordinary person, we'll find that anything connected to that big person will also be big, will also be extraordinary. If we happen to go to some big man's house, say Mr. Birla's house, so we'll find that anything over there will not be ordinary things. Even the toilet in their house will be extraordinary, will be something very special. The watchman outside the gate will not be wearing any ordinary dress. The garden in the house will not have ordinary plants. So anything connected to an extraordinary person logically becomes extraordinary. Now who is the most extraordinary and who is the most biggest of all personalities than Krishna? And Krishna is saying that this Maya is mine, Mama Maya. So definitely just this statement itself can confirm that this Maya is not ordinary. But Krishna doesn't stop there. He further says that this is not just Daivi, this is not just Gunamai, this is not just mine, but Duratyaya. Very difficult to overcome. Now if any other ordinary person would have said that, maybe it wouldn't carry so much of weight in it. Like if an expert swimmer who has crossed the English Channel, something like that, or he says that this body of water is very difficult to swim in. So definitely his words will have weightage because he's an expert swimmer and he's saying that this particular body of water is difficult to swim in. Now Krishna, who is so beyond the three modes, who is so beyond this material energy, in fact he is a supervisor of this material energy, and he is saying that this is Duratyaya. This is so very difficult to overcome. So we see that in the first half of this verse, Krishna is so emphatically establishing the power of Maya. Now if Krishna would have just stopped there, he would have left us in absolute fearful condition. So Krishna further says that just by surrendering to me, then he goes on to say what is the power of my own self. Just by surrendering to me, mame vaye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. You can cross over this Duratyaya, Gunamai and Daivi Maya. So this is the power of Krishna also. We see that devotional service is so powerful, as Krishna says in the second chapter, svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat, that the greatest type of fear can be overcome just by rendering some little devotional service. Then also we can understand that just like rendering little devotional service can save us from the greatest type of fear, so similarly, little involvement in this material energy can put us in the greatest type of danger also. Little involvement in devotional service can save us from the greatest type of danger, and little involvement within this material energy can put us in the greatest type of danger. Sometimes we see a slight mistake, apparently sometimes it might be an apparent mistake, like Ajamil, he was not intending to see that particular scene, but he just happened to pass by and little bit he contemplated on the sense objects and his entire life took a different turn. So we see that the power of Maya is so much. Just a couple of months ago I was discussing with one student and he was revealing some very tragic and horrific events which he had to experience in his life. This is just one sample of how this Maya is Duratyaya, how just little involvement in this material energy can put us in such great dangers. So he was saying that in his family, he was the only educated person and sort of earning member. Parents were not so educated, just some farmer. His father was just a farmer. So just recently he got his sister married to an army officer. And after the marriage, after 1 year of the marriage, the husband of his sister, he got posted to a place where his family was not allowed to be taken, to some kind of border area. So one day he couldn't control his senses. He engaged in some illicit physical connection with a prostitute over there, not realizing that just that little connection has transferred in his body that HIV virus. So he didn't realize that time what has happened to him. Then, when he came back to his family, he transferred that virus to his wife, which in turn got transferred to the baby which he was carrying then. And many years passed, nobody realized, because that disease, you know, it fructifies after some time. So after many years, then he started to experience so much of deterioration of his body. He was admitted in the army hospital, and he was a quite sturdy, healthy person. 70 kilos was his weight, shot down to 35 kilos, and he was completely bedridden when the doctors realized that he has got that disease. And over there, the wife, the sister of the student, she didn't realize she is carrying that virus, and the baby within her womb, the baby is carrying that virus. So her health started to deteriorate. So now this brother, he was the only one to take care of his sister. When the doctors realized, they said, "We can't do anything. It's a helpless situation. We can only give you two options. You want your sister to be alive with that disease, or you want your sister's son to come out with that disease and lose your sister then. Because if the regular delivery is done, your sister will not survive, because the baby is taking all the energy." So this was the question he was confronted with. Whom do you want? Your sister or your sister's son? So he opted for his sister. So then they had to abort the baby. And the doctor said, "We can't do that in a regular fashion as we do, because any cut wound might turn fatal." So a very deadly kind of solution was supposed to be ingested in her body, so that, you know, it aborts the baby and the baby is flushed out of the body. So the doctors, they were doing all that, you know, without informing her what they are doing. That mother doesn't even know what's happening to her and to her baby. And when that sort of abortion was done, when, you know, that aborted baby was flushed out of the body, so the doctor said, "Now we are not going to do anything with this particular aborted baby. You have to dispose it of. You can't just throw it anywhere, because if some animal eats, the animal will get that disease, and if that animal bites someone, that person will get that disease." So this was, you know, in the middle of the night, he had to take and go to some place and bury it in the forest. And over here, the brother-in-law of the student, he's losing his weight. He has just become a skinny weakling. And that was the time when the student, he started coming to our programs and took interest in Krishna consciousness, started chanting 16 rounds. So he gave the Mahamantra to his brother-in-law, to his sister. And the brother-in-law, he started to chant Hare Krishna. And within 3 months, before that he had contracted tuberculosis, He had contracted brain hemorrhage, his entire food pipe was filled with fungus because of that virus. And after chanting Hare Krishna, all of these things were gone completely. He was back to normal externally, still had that virus, but externally he was back to normal. He was going to his office. And the doctors were surprised. They were sending his reports all over the world that here we have an AIDS patient and we are treating him in this way and it's working on him. Not realizing which is the ultimate medicine working. So the brother was so happy, this student was so happy. But guess what happened with this army officer? After he revived back his health, he stopped chanting. He reverted back to his old habits, left chanting, and of course the sister, she is still continuing to chant, but only some few days left for both of them to live. So this student was telling that what I hear about the power of Maya, I could see and hear and experience through in the life of my own near and dear ones. So this is just one sample of how duratyaya this material energy is, how powerful this material energy is, and how when it is underestimated, it can just overwhelm us, overpower us. And then of course, we also understand the power of Krishna, which is explained so beautifully in these wonderful scriptures. In fact, the scriptures, they instill in our heart sufficient healthy fear of this powerful Maya, and simultaneously the scriptures, they instill in our heart sufficient confidence that we can come out of this Maya by taking shelter of Krishna. As Krishna says, Mame vaye prapadyante maya metan tarantite. So properly, adequately taking shelter of Krishna instills in our heart that confidence, and properly understanding the power of Maya will instill in our heart the healthy fear of Maya, so that we don't take her casually. Just yesterday I was reading one very beautiful episode in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which exemplifies this particular fact of the fear element, which is so much required, healthy fear, and the healthy confidence in Krishna. It is from the 10th canto when Akrura is entering Vrindavan. And it's very appropriate since most of the devotees will be heading towards Vrindavan next week. So Shukadeva Goswami, through the example of Akrura, is teaching us in what consciousness, what are the different phases of consciousness Akrura entered Vrindavan. It's a journey of a devotee who passes through various phases of emotions, of fear, confidence, and culminates in ecstasy. So Shukadeva Goswami mentions about these three mixed feelings which Akrura was in when he started from Mathura and entered Vrindavan. Initially he was fearful, then he became confident, and then the culmination of that confidence was that he was in ecstasy. He became fearless. That's what Krishna also says, that if you surrender fully, ma shuchah, then you do not have to fear about anything. So that is of course the culmination of getting that confidence in Krishna, that one becomes fearless. And this is what we see in the example of Akrura. When Kamsa understood that Krishna has killed Keshi and Vyomasura also, so Kamsa became very fearful. And therefore he sent Akrura that you should go and you should call Krishna and Balram here in Mathura. And of course, Akrura was thanking Kamsa to give him this service. In the verses, Akrura is first, he is thanking Kamsa that you somehow gave me this service and engaged me in this service that now I'll be able to see Krishna and Balaram. So as Akrura got this order from Kamsa, he started from Mathura. And as he is on his chariot, these are some of the feelings which he is having in his mind. The first feeling which he has in his mind is the feeling of fear. We were discussing about that. So Akrura, he is saying to himself that I am trying to see Krishna, aspiring to see Krishna and trying to call Krishna to Mathura on the order of Kamsa. But Kamsa is the enemy of Krishna. Kamsa wants to kill Krishna. So will I be welcomed over there? So this was the first fear which Akrura had, that I am representing the enemy of Krishna, will I be welcomed over there? Secondly, Akrura was thinking that what pious activities have I performed? I am not a very pious person, I am not a very charitable person, I am not a very learned scholar, I do not have all these qualities which makes one eligible to see Krishna. So this was the second fear which Akrura had, that I don't have any, you know, prerequisite eligibility conditions to see Krishna. And then Akrura was also thinking that forget about being pious, charitable, I am a materialistic sense enjoyer. That was the third fear which Akrura had. In fact, he said, Mamaita durlabham manya uttama shloka darshana vishayatmano yatha brahma kirtanam shudra janmana. That for me, such a Vishayi person, Akrura is calling himself Vishayi, Vishayatmano, that I am such a materialistic sense enjoyer, for me to have darshan of Krishna is like for a Shudra to chant Vedic mantras. Kirtanam Shudra Janmana. So like this, Akrura began his journey with fear of feeling himself incapable of seeing Krishna. But then, as he is coming closer to Vrindavan, Akrura is thinking that what kind of thoughts I am having. By these thoughts, I am trying to underestimate the power of Krishna. By these thoughts, I am trying to belittle the position of Krishna, the position of Krishna's mercy, that Krishna is not so merciful that he can uplift me from my fallen condition. And he gives an example that if even an insignificant straw which is strewn across on the surface of the ocean can reach the shore one day, it's possible for that straw to reach the shore. What is so difficult for Krishna to purify me and to bring me at his lotus feet? So then he started to contemplate on the power of Krishna and started to develop confidence. So from fear, he started to transform his feelings into confidence. So much so that seated on the chariot, he is contemplating then that forget about all those things which I was thinking, becoming fearful about. Today I shall see Krishna face to face. Not because of my, you know, some kind of qualification, but because of Krishna's mercy. I will be seeing Krishna face to face, that beautiful face of Lord Mukunda, which is decorated, framed with the curly locks of hair. In fact, today I will touch the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram. And then sequentially, he is envisioning what all will happen. So Akrura is saying, as I will be touching the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Krishna will lift me up by his merciful hands, those same hands which give fearlessness. So he uses this word which gives Abhay Adhastha, which gives fearlessness to his devotees. Krishna will lift me using those same hands. And then Krishna will embrace me with his mighty arms and will address me, "Oh my dear Akrura," which means that he will recognize me. Now Akrura is meeting Krishna for the first time, and Akrura is saying that immediately Krishna will recognize me because he is the super soul seated in everyone's heart. And then Balramji, he will hold me by my hand as I'll be standing with my joined hands praying to Krishna. Balramji will hold my joined hands and will drag me to his house, and then he'll welcome me with very sacred items and sacred rituals. So like that, the confidence of Akrura went so deep that he, from fear, he started to contemplate how Krishna and Balaram will reciprocate so intimately with him. And then, as he is just about to enter Vrindavan, he is having so much of confidence in himself when he saw the lotus footprints of Krishna on the cowherd pasture grounds of Vrindavan. And then that confidence turned into ecstasy. This is what Shukadeva Goswami explains. From fear to confidence to ecstasy. That Akrura jumped down from his chariot, rolled in the dust of the footprints of Krishna, and then he started to say, "Deha bhritam iyan artha hitva dambham bhiyam shucham." He is saying that, forget about all that fear. Now I will give up all my dambha first. And the acharyas explain that what kind of pride or dambha did Akrura have? Akrura was thinking and saying to himself as he is rolling on the dust. He is saying that I might be proud of being the honored messenger of Kamsa, but today, by rolling in the dust of the footprints of Krishna, hitva dambham, I will give up that pride of mine. Then Akrura is saying, hitva bhiyam, that I will give up all fear. And what was the fear which Akrura had? That here, I am a messenger sent by Kamsa to call Krishna and Balaram so that Kamsa can kill them. So I am representing the enemy of Krishna, and I am representing Kamsa going to Vrindavan to call the enemy of Kamsa, and I am rolling in the dust of the enemy of Kamsa. But I am giving up all fear of Kamsa, that Kamsa might harm me. Why? Because now I am within the precincts of Vrindavan. And he is saying that previously Kamsa sent so many demons. As soon as these demons entered the precincts of Vrindavan, they were liberated by Krishna. So what to speak of me? I am coming with such favorable consciousness. Why I will not be liberated and given my supreme perfection of life? So herein, then Akrura is giving up his fear, he is giving up his lamentation. That Akrura is thinking that if I am over here and Kamsa cannot do anything to my body, but he can do something to my family members, so I give up all the lamentation. Hitva shucham, I give up all the lamentation about my family members also. And like that, he started to roll again in the dust of Vrindavan. Now one might think that was Akrura just trying to imagine all these things in his mind, that Krishna will do this, Krishna will hold me by my hands, embrace me and tell me, "My dear Akrura, how are you?" and all that. The testimony is, it was not just some imagination, it was not just some speculation. Because as Akrura reached Vrindavan and as he was rolling in the dust in that ecstatic trance, Krishna and Balaram appeared in front of Akrura. And whatever he had contemplated, sequentially, everything happened. He paid his obeisances, fell flat like a rod, touched the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram as he had contemplated, and Krishna lifted using his right hand, it is said. Because Krishna's right hand has the mark of a chariot wheel. So the acharyas explained that Krishna was indicating that with this same right hand I am going to kill Kamsa. Do not have any fear in your heart. And then, as Akrura had contemplated, Krishna embraced and spoke the same words, "My dear Akrura." So whatever he was thinking, and then Balaramji, he grasped the folded hands of Akrura and took him in his house and welcomed him, washed his feet, welcomed him with Madhuparka and all sacred items. And then as Akrura was experiencing all this, he understood that this is the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That just by coming in contact with the footprints and the dust of Vrindavan, he became so much confident, not just confident, but went into ecstatic trance that whatever he contemplated, it all came true. And here he was experiencing the close association of none other than Krishna and Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we can see by the example of Akrura in what consciousness we are supposed to enter into Vrindavan, feeling ourselves very lowly, and then having confidence that yes, we are in that fallen condition, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so powerful that He can liberate us. He has the full power to take us out from our fallen condition. And then of course, how Akrura went into the ecstatic trance, maybe that might not happen with us, because we might not be so much confident and might not have that much absorption in the pastimes and the personality of the Supreme Lord, but at least we can aspire for that. So herein, in these instructions of Narad Muni, we see that Narad Muni is making us aware through the prachetas what is the power of Maya and what is the power of Krishna, and never to underestimate the power of Maya or the power of Krishna. And in fact, these things are there in the scriptures to instill in our heart sufficient healthy fear so that we can not take Maya casually, and also we develop healthy confidence in Krishna, estimating the power of Krishna, that Krishna has all the power to take us out of this material world, and following the footsteps of Akrura, we can ultimately enter into the divine realm of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Any comments? Hare Krishna. So we'll end over here. It's quite late today.